Welcome to The Lilac. I'm so excited to introduce my guest today. She is a spiritual psychotherapist, intuitive, and transformational coach. She currently is living in Bali and has generously shared her time all the way from across the world. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and Wellness from the University of Denver, a Master's in Transpersonal Psychology. She is a breathwork practitioner and a licensed massage therapist and a Kundalini yoga teacher. She is also a certified in somatic trauma release from Trauma Dynamics in Boulder, Colorado. This woman is a beautiful soul, and she travels the world guiding events and retreats as a missionary of divine alignment and love. It is my great pleasure to welcome Alana Morlop. So you are joining me from Bali. I think you're officially the longest away from me from any guest that I've had. So that's pretty incredible that we can connect all the way across the world.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank God.
Thank God. You do most of your work probably via Zoom and the magic of the internet.
Yes, the interwebs has served me well.
on your bio, it says that you are like a traveling gypsy. Do you travel all over the world? Does your heart just pull you there? How do you decide to do this work wherever it pulls you?
You know, that's such a great question, because for so long I was very anchored in Colorado. I spent 21 years in Colorado. And I always traveled a lot. I have just a gypsy soul, and I didn't really know what that was at the time. I just knew that I liked to move around a lot and move house and see different lands and travel. And that's when I felt the most alive. And there came a point in my life, I was in my mid to late 30s, and I just had this epiphany, and I had been running retreats to Bali for years. I had a retreat company since my early 20s. So I knew about Bali. You know, I had gone there when I was, I think, 21. My mother and sister and I all took a trip after my father passed away to Bali, and it was so exotic at that time. That was just like so out of like the box for us then, you know. And we went, and I was just, it left such a deep imprint in my being. And when I ran yoga retreats or healing retreats here, you know, I kept spending more and more time here, and then I'd look around and be like, who are these people who live here? I want to be one of those girls on the scooter with like the kimono flying off her back, you know, like it just looked like the epitome of freedom. And after years with my private practice in Denver, Colorado, I finally hit a wall and was like, I know that healing needs to happen in a different way. And the calling from spirit was not even subtle, like not one bit. Like the synchronicities that were happening were like getting hit with a hammer over the head. And it was like, if you don't say yes, you know, like you're missing out. Like you are gonna miss the boat, Alana. And so I just kind of closed down my practice for 4 months. Told my clients, you know, you can come see me online, but this was, you know, 5 years ago, and even 5 years ago, that was not really a thing. You know, therapy online was not really, something people were doing. So I just was like, there's this thing I think called Zoom, and we could maybe see each other still. And, you know, I was like, I just know that I need to go. So those first 4 months in Bali, you know, reawakened my spirit and really showed me the essence of who I am and what I'm meant to be doing here. And I had worked, you know, so hard to become a licensed therapist in the States and, you know, study all the esotericism I could have studied. And now it was time for me to kind of like go and really, really experience, like really put the energy into trusting and surrendering, and being guided. And after Bali for 4 months, I came back to Colorado, you know, cleaned up with the little details that needed to be cleaned up, and then packed up, went back to Bali, and then from there ended up just being full-time on nomad mode. So I spent a lot of time in Europe and Portugal, and just traveling, giving workshops, retreats, birthing my women's program, Radiance Rising, and just seeing that, like, my teacher at that time anyway, land became the transmissions in the caves, in the stone circles, in, you know, these sacred sites that I would travel to. And they showed me so much. And I had this very, you know, these few years that were very nomadic, and that served me well. And then I ended up in Bali for the pandemic, and feel more and more that now that time will come to not an end. I will always travel. I will always be called. I will, you know, that is my nature. But I'm feeling really like the depth that can happen when I at least have a home base and settle. And so I've got land in a little island. We'll be looking to to build on that land eventually. So it feels like this has been, you know, like a long journey that, you know, that it's like the hero's journey, right? Like, you need to leave home and be out in the world and experiencing. And from that, like, the depth of knowledge and wisdom that came through that I couldn't learn sitting in Denver, Colorado, you know, as much as I studied with my teachers and do my practices, this was other wisdom that was calling for me. And it was not always easy to do that, right? It's expensive to be traveling all the time. I have an autoimmune disorder. It's not always easy on my body to be doing that, but there's nothing that makes me feel more alive and in purpose and in service than doing that. And I didn't really always understand where I was going, why I had to be there. And now that I'm kind of sitting on the other end, it all makes sense, right? Like, you don't always know, you can't always know the reason or the bigger picture, which can sometimes feel like, you know, you're just going a little bit of a washing machine, being like, okay, I'm listening, but why? It would be nice finding why.
Oh, yeah. I love that you took that beautiful leap of faith. And, you know, I always say that spirit is my greatest teacher. Like, I'm a medium, and, you know, spirit brings, is my greatest teacher, is my teacher, you know. It's like, oh my gosh, absolutely, that's why that person came, so I could learn this, and this revealed this. It's just like, surrendering is such a beautiful thing, but it is not a natural thing.
Oh God, no.
You know? It's not natural for us to just be like, okay, I'm just gonna have 100% faith in all things and just like leave all everything that I've worked my whole life to and go across the ocean. And I'm sure you came across people that thinks you're crazy, because I know people think that I'm crazy doing what I'm doing and mediumship and all that, you know, that it's just like, but you just have, there's a point where you have to choose your own soul, you know, your own journey. And as hard as it is to not let other people's opinions dictate how you choose to live your life. So good on you. That's amazing.
Yeah. Amen to that. That is, like, you know, one of the biggest things I think you really start to learn as you go deeper and deeper into trusting yourself, trusting your own body, trusting your own knowing, your divine knowing, you develop your divine thinking, is that, you know, you become more sovereign, right? And we're all on this path. It's like your spiritual path is like your path into sovereignty. And, you know, really, really owning who you are, and that it looks so different. Wow. You know, I think in the end, like, you can't be left explaining who you are. It's such a waste of energy to be in that mode of, like, feeling like you've got to please people or they have to approve. And of course, that's a tumultuous emotional journey, especially with your family and your friends, you know, and it's the people that are the most intimate with you and love you so much, or, you know, you have the most patterning with anyway. you know, it's like, we've got to do that work. at the base, you know, and that's, again, like so much of what my work is about is like, how do we get to this place? And we really have to look at, like, you know, the way that the unconscious mind traps us into a paradigm or a way of being that isn't ours, that it isn't meant for our essence or our soul, but it is what helped us adapt and adjust and be in this world. You know, and there's beautiful parts of that essence that are expressed, and then there's parts that were quite distorted and manipulated, and we have to be free of that, or at least aware of it, you know. And then we work on it deeper and deeper.
I've really been diving into, like, honoring my own energetics, you know, honoring the flow of my own natural rhythms and my own, even with this podcast, you know, like, I started this being like, I have to do it every single week. And this is how you are successful and all these things. And I burnt myself out. And then as spirit works, as spirit does, you know, things weren't lining up. Things were, you know, it was getting chaotic, and I had to go, wait a second, I'm not in flow anymore, and there's a reason, and I need to step back for a minute. And as soon as I did that, just beautiful things happened. It was like honoring how I was living my own life, and that we all have our own flow in life. We all have these ebbs and flows, and success is not determined by a rule book for every single person. Everything is different for every single soul on earth. And that's what I found out. The more I honor sort of, hey, it's okay that I'm in this ebb right now. I just have to feel it and be there and honor it. And eventually I'll be in the flow again. And I love hearing when people do that. I just love it, because it's just, you're honoring you in this moment for a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this isn't like stuff that was taught to us,
no.
You know, not in school. I didn't learn that in my family. I didn't learn that in my community. You know, it was like, where, you know, by the grace of source, did I have these mentors pop into my life at a very young age that gave me peaks and planted seeds that there was another way. And then every time that I needed an up level, there so happened to be somebody that would appear in my life. And I was open for that too. You know, I didn't know it at the time, but it was like, then that person came in and showed me this thing. They expanded my vision for what's possible. And then I realized, okay. And then I went back and did all the untangling work. But, you know, we've really got to keep attuning to what is our own natural rhythm. And especially for women, I work mostly with women. And we have a monthly flow. We have a monthly cycle, right? And I, like, now I teach what I think somebody calls it cycle syncing, which is a great word for it. But I've been teaching this for a while, is how to move with the archetypes of who we are in just one month. You know, in just one month, we're four different beings with four different personalities.
And, I can relate to that. Know,
right. And like this paradigm that we grew up in, it's just like, be one thing all the time, be high achieving all the time. Well, you know, it's like, we have one time of the month where we're high achieving. The rest is like the gold, you know, the rest is when we're creating and this and that. So you look at these kind of smaller cycles, and then teaching us how to actually be, you know, looking at larger cycles. What's a 7-year cycle for us? What's a 21-year cycle for us? Right? Like, there's so much that we're learning in each cycle, and we're actually meant to learn in these 7-year cycles and in these monthly cycles, right? And in these moon cycles, right? So it's like, of course we have to go through our own flow. I mean, who could possibly know about us with that level of, like, I don't want to say complexity in like a bad way, but like, complexity is just like, you're your own matrix of aliveness. You know, there isn't any one or thing that can tell you about how that's meant to go or be. Right.
Yeah. And breaking that, like, hustle culture, you know,
yes.
Toxic thing of like, yeah, if you're not doing, you're not doing anything, you know, it's like, well, shoot, you know, without my without my inner reflection time, without these dark nights of the soul where I'm bringing these things out of myself, you know, to heal, I would never have the expansion. You know, it's like contraction to expansion. And I honor all the phases. We must honor all the phases within ourselves, and have faith that there's a purpose too, right? That there's a purpose. Like, you've had quite a journey with your credentials and everything. Would you mind talking about how you started in, you know, really like a traditional therapeutic sense with like your Bachelor of Arts in Psychology and Wellness, in going into somatic trauma release and breath work? Can you take us on your journey through that?
Yeah, totally. You know, it actually kind of started in, and it didn't kind of start, it definitely started in high school. You know, I had this experience. I went to this very experiential high school in New Hampshire, and the counselor there, I went and saw her for typical like teenage girl things, not her. And she said, you know, I've never done this, but why don't I do Reiki on you every day for 40 days?
Oh, like, amazing.
We did it for my, yeah. And so I'm a senior in high school getting Reiki done on me every day. And then we would journal, like we'd have a session and then we'd journal. She'd write down what she saw. I wrote down what I saw. And then we started having visions that synced up. Right. Like this was mind blowing for me at the age of, you know, I was 16 at that time, 17. And I described these things in my body, these spinning vortexes. Never heard of a chakra before. She said, have you heard of chakras? And I said, no. And she said, okay, well, here's a book on chakras. You know, and I was like, oh. So I had this experience really deep in my body of what a chakra was before I had any like information on what that was. I didn't know about these systems. And then I got to experientially feel them first. So there's no better education than that, right? Like just no better proof. And you don't need proof. You don't need to have science behind it. You're like, I felt that. And that came to me. So I ended up running a retreat for my senior project. And I did a retreat for women transitioning from high school into college. And it's hilarious because it's like exactly what I do now, you know, all the things that I did with this woman. And I ended up becoming a Reiki master at like 18 years old. And so my propensity for that spirit was so big. And I ended up at University of Denver because they had a wellness program, and it was the very first year they offered it. And I was the very first person to graduate from their wellness program. It was a minor at the time. So I studied Reiki through, I basically made it up because they didn't really have much of a curriculum. So I just did my own like cool healing stuff. And at the same time studied psychology. And from there, I think after college, I, you know, went right into massage therapy. I had my first coaching certification by like 22, 23. So it was like my path at that time was I just was always oriented. It's not like I ever had a choice. Like I don't think I ever thought about doing anything else. I couldn't. It just wasn't in my nature. It was like this was everything. I was passionate about it, you know. And at that time, I also had some traumatic events happen. I was in an abusive relationship. My father was killed in a tragic accident. And, you know, those kinds of things, when it's like that happens within a couple year span of each other, and you're that young. And, you know, I had spirituality as a base to understand those things. But I was young. I didn't have the experience of it. Mm. You know, like it wasn't in my, I didn't have all the tools. Like I understood theories, right? So after college, I moved to Aspen, Colorado. I'm a huge skier, and went and had a blast. And my, for like 7 years, had an amazing, had an amazing partner. Like we, you know, skied all the time, did massage. And, but there wasn't a spiritual community there. And what I realized was, you know, looking back, I spent about 6 years there extremely numbed out, like half numb, you know, like if you had asked me, I would have been like, no, I'm good. I'm great. Like no one knows that they're numb. right? But after the trauma of my father and, is, you know, some relationship work dealings, I really didn't know how to cope and deal. And I felt that increasing, just uncomfortable feeling, like I was no longer my vibrant, shiny self. After like a few, you know, like 6 years into my relationship, he's wanting to be married. I'm like, oh my God, that gives me an anxiety attack. Like, that's not a good sign, right? And knowing that my comfortable life in Aspen, like I could blink my eyes and it could, I could have just stayed there and lived the rest of my life and nothing would have changed and it would have all been the same. And I started having panic attacks around that. Yeah. And I was like, something is not. I'd seen Naropa, always saw Naropa. Like there wasn't any other grad school in my viewpoint. Like it was only Naropa, right? If I was going to go to grad school, it was Naropa. This is a Buddhist university in Boulder, Colorado. That's really, really world renowned for their experiential transpersonal education.
So wonderful.
I just like, I've done this twice in my life. I just blew up my life. You know, I went, okay, I'm breaking up with you. I'm going to Naropa, and I landed there. And at Naropa, I got to completely fall apart. And I learned how to grieve, and I learned what feeling meant, really, truly feeling sensations in your bodies, separating from stories. And I fell apart in the place that was like, it couldn't have been more divine, a place that I was so completely supported. I did therapy every day, group therapy, you know, psychodrama, like all the alternative therapies, gestalt, like we were just, I just did, you know, I got held in the arms of 3 years of like Buddhist philosophy and you know, transpersonal expanded states of consciousness. Like it was the structured way of re-templating my entire being. And I had to shatter. I had to be vulnerable enough, you know, to let go of all those defenses to then build in this whole new foundation at that school.
Oh, amazing.
So, that was, yeah, really a powerful time. And right after I got my master's in transpersonal psychology, I, at the same time, was like, everything comes back to trauma in the body. It all comes back to trauma in the body. Whether we think, you know, you hear the word trauma, like you don't need to have had a massive experience or a one-time big thing. You know, the traumas that we incur are like subtle over time patterns of feeling separate, you know, in whatever way, like our culture breeds that feeling. Mm. Our culture is set up for us to feel separate. So we are all living in a, you know, quote unquote traumatized place and space. And so we store this in the cellular memory of our bodies and our muscle tissues and the way that we speak, in the way that we interact, and the way we have relationships, most importantly. And it was, I was like, okay, so I, at the same time I was at Naropa, I went in through a full somatic experiencing course, became a trauma specialist as well. And from the body perspective, like a somatic trauma release. And then went right into private practice. And at the same time, like, you know, my spiritual life doesn't ever stop. It's not like that. That's like, okay, we're good now. So I was, became a Kundalini yoga teacher. I became a Tantra teacher. And then eventually when I landed in Bali, I found breathwork, and breathwork, I have to say, is one of the things that changed my life the most. And I went into Bali. The first day I landed, when I came to actually spend 4 months here, I went to some festival. Some girl's like, okay, I've got a half price ticket for you. Let's go. Like, you've got to come. I'm like, oh, I'm so jet lagged. Like, I got it. I don't know. I don't know if I can make it. She's like, you got to come. And I'm like, okay, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, like I got to go. I got to go to this festival. This is great. And I walked into this, crazy scene of like people rolling around on the ground, roaring at themselves like animals and lions. Like, I kind of walked in midway through and then was laid down and started doing this breathing technique. And I had one of the most, like, you know, I had no idea what I was about to do. And it was, probably 45 minutes of open mouth, circular connected breath. And I felt like Superwoman. I had literally shooting light out of my hands. I melded with God. And when I woke up, I looked at the facilitator and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. It was the clearest thing ever to me. I'll be doing this. And then I went super deep into breath work and combined it with my therapy practice and combined Kundalini. And then it was this, I am the alchemist because of my experiences and the path that I've walked. And I'm obsessed with education. So I probably have 20 certifications and a master's degree, And yes. So I have the ability to actually alchemize all of that in a really educated and fine-tuned, refined way for other people. So that was my journey. And then from there, after a couple years of really, weaving in these kind of ways that we can get to expanded states of consciousness, I created and birthed my Radiance Rising program and my private containers, Mystical Mama, Masculine Edge, for men and women, and started, kind of just really working with those in that container where people get full audios, meditations, videos, personal attention, personal sessions. I do women's work and just trying to connect us back into the realm of our true self, which is, the flowing and the harmonizing of this planet. I don't think that we're just here to heal ourselves. I think we're here to collectively heal this planet. And that is drawing down and being a conduit of the divine feminine energy. That's a little bit of how I got to where I am right now.
I love that. What an amazing journey. Oh my gosh. It feels like I got this visual of you walking down a grocery aisle and taking certification after certification, not even knowing what recipe you were making, totally. Or just putting them into your basket and then realizing you're going to make this amazing, gourmet meal, but you didn't even realize it at the beginning of the aisle,
Oh my God. Absolutely not. One step in front of the other. Lots of being what am I doing and why? And why do I need to take another thing? And why do I need to go here? Good Lord.
And but now following the pulse of your heart too, though, right?
Always, always. It's I can't do anything else.
Time for a little break. I am so very appreciative of every single one of you that takes the time to listen to this podcast. And to show my appreciation to all of you, I've created a giveaway. Anyone who rates the podcast and writes a review will be entered into a draw to receive a free distance Reiki healing session, chakra balancing, and oracle card reading with me. All you need to do to be entered is to take a screenshot of your review and email me, message me, DM me on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok, and you will be entered into the contest. Oh, I can't wait to see who wins. So keep on blossoming, my beautiful souls. And now back to this week's episode. I did a breathwork sound healing. I had no idea what I was walking into, truly. Yeah. Exactly like you said. It was oh, okay. I'm just going to it'll be almost a meditation. And the spirit guides that came to me, the sobbing from the depths of my soul that yes. came out, the moans and it is... It's not something you can even explain. My girlfriends who are not really into this stuff, I'm like, come with me to this, and they're like, what's it like? I'm like, how do I encompass all that a breathwork session is? You might see yourself in the womb of your mother. I don't even know what's going to happen for you, but it's something I can't even explain, but you just have to do it. You have to experience it. And how have you found doing everything online through Zoom? The world has moved into this online space, and COVID truly has opened up
so many doors to healing over Zoom. And how have you found that transition for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I started that transition quite a few years ago. I always give live workshops and retreats, but obviously in these 2 years, I was only lucky enough to give one retreat in Colorado in the fall, this past fall. And so what I have found, honestly, is that it's so powerful, you know, like if we just honor this technology that we have and we don't abuse it, and we don't get addicted to it, and we start to know that, like, I honestly think this is just the growth of our consciousness as well. Like, we know everything is energy. We know that, right? So of course we can send and work with and flow with energy, because we're not working physically in a realm. Like, some modalities are physical for sure, right? You're getting body work, you're doing, trigger point release or something like that. But for me and my work, I realized, you know, this is like, I mostly am working, and this might sound a little very woo-woo, but like, I'm mostly working in the quantum with guiding you into your own healing, because what we do is work with, like, you know, moving into the body and using the body and the emotions and the sensations as a portal to the divine, to your healing. So I don't need to be right next to you to do that, you know, and my women's groups are so fun, because people are in Europe, they're in Australia, they're in America, and they can see the similarities, and they can connect with each other from all different places in the world. And you get these different perspectives, and you get to see the differences and the uniqueness and just the camaraderie of, you know, women that are meant to be together, to know each other. And we have that, you know, we have access to that when we're online. And now, you know, I'm not saying that, like, I mean, a live retreat for me is like my jam. Like, I am so alive. And there's something really special that happens in the retreat setting or a workshop setting. But yeah, if this is what we have now, and I'm living in Bali staring at the ocean, and I can work and talk to you, you know, like, wow, awesome, you know, and get this message out. Because again, we go back to, like, what is this all about? Like, what are we here for? We're a global community now, and we need to be joining these sort of like lines, these energy lines of light that transcend this world, that connect us all. We're weaving this universal web of light, of support, of, you know, showing that there is this, you know, these energies that are accessible for so many people that could have never seen that before, never known it before. Like, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool.
No, I experienced that with mediumship. Like, I've actually never done a mediumship exchange in person yet. I've only done it in Zoom, and it's still every single time. It's so incredible to me that I'm like, I connected to that person across the screen and to the people that they've, you know, that they've lost, you know, on the other side. And in three way, we're connecting to each other, you know, in this incredible interconnectedness. Like, we are so divinely interconnected beyond our even imaginings. I'm wondering if someone is at the beginning of their journey and going, how do I unlock my divine feminine? How am I going to heal, you know, that part of myself? Where is someone that they can start today with? What's something that you could tell them to start on that path for themselves?
Well, amazing. I'm actually going to leave a link for your listeners for a guided audio, which is a de-armoring the heart breathwork.
Amazing.
So I'm going to give you guys a little gift, and it's actually a really great place to start. But I would say, you know, when we're really just, you know, starting on the path, a lot of great places to start are books. You know, if you're just sort of like, what is this about? What does it mean to embody my divine feminine? What does it mean to walk a spiritual path? You know, often we start out with just information because we need the mental body to be on board. The mental body, because we have such an overdeveloped, strong mind in our society, it's like the mental is like the key that gets unlocked And if you can get the mental on board and start to like give it some new information, give it some ways of perceiving in different ways, then it starts to like allow for more range of perception, like more energy to flow through your body. Because when we unlock the mind, then, you know, the critical mind anyway, the cortical control that we have, that limiting part of us that's always hypervigilant looking for threat, whether it be emotional or physical, or, you know, just that we're kind of attuned to feeling like, you know, things aren't safe for us. So we want to get that quieted, you know, we want to get that soothed. And when we do, then we actually allow for like this torrent of energy to flow through our body, which then starts to clear and release. So I know those, what I just described sounds a little like, okay, that's a nice theory. So like, so I described the theory so that we could come back to the practical, right? So you know why you're doing what you're doing. Like, why would I pick up a book or read this thing or go to a workshop? Because it's going to, you know, introduce new information to you, and you're going to start to allow for the, I don't know, the guidance of something else besides you, you know, being like the thing that takes you in the direction. We start to trust our intuition, you know, and that's not an easy thing to do, but we have to be out of the mind in order to trust the intuition, to hear the intuition. So meditating. Mm-hmm. I'm a Kundalini yoga teacher. I have been for, you know, 12 years now. And try a Kundalini meditation, right? Like, look up on YouTube Kundalini yoga and just do a Kundalini yoga class, or do like a regular yoga class if you're super new. Kundalini is the yoga of it's a, you know, derived from the Sikh tradition, and it's it works with energy, your energy body rather than your physical body. So you're going to start to feel things and use these breathing techniques that are like, whoa, like that feels buzzy. That feels tingly. Like, wow, that made me emotional. Like, they're all techniques to kind of get you out of the mind and into the heart, into the body. And then when you're in the body just wants to like complete old stress cycles. It wants to let go of things that your body is like rigidly holding on to and creating the same patterns in your life for. So, you know, for those people that are new, I would love to have people look into Kundalini yoga. It's not going to be right for everybody, and it's a little bit weird. It's totally weird at first. Anyway, it's so weird, right?
All this stuff is weird.
All this stuff is so weird.
Weird and wonderful.
They're so weird, like in the best way, you know.
But it's best way.
It's going to enliven and give life to your system, your body, brain, your mind. Try this light breath work that I'm going to offer. You know, it's a 15 minute thing, and just see how that feels, you know, and then step in like, what is that about? And if you have anything, oh my God, if you have anything that gets you tingles in your body, you know, that like little bit of excitement, that little intuitive, like, yes, go this way, follow it, take action and follow it. Like, don't ignore that. Even if it's wild and crazy or just doesn't make sense, just do that thing.
I just know you need to try things. You know, you need to give things a chance. You need to like go through life with a more open mind, because someone can walk into a Kundalini yoga class or a you know, a breath work session and have the most life changing moment. But had they not taken that chance on trying something different outside of these tiny boxes that we've hand built for ourselves, you'll never get to that place. You have to take these tiny leaps of faith, you know, these tiny little pushes to try things. And I think that's where it starts for a lot of people that I know. It's just like, well, I just tried this one class, or I just read this one little book, you know. And the more things that are out there now, the more access there is, more people telling their stories of these journeys. It might spark one person. I make this podcast so that one, because there's one person that needs to listen to it, just one person that needs to listen to this, that might trigger a seed, plant a seed that we never know what the impact will be, but there is always a pull that I know there's one soul out there that needed to hear it. Every single time, I just know there's one person. And I hope if you're listening, go and try that thing. Just try it. You know?
And you know what's coming through really strong for me, Ashley, right now is this image. And I just want to describe it because I think as you're really naming this, there's this one person that needs to hear this. I'm like, well, I think this is the message coming through for somebody. Yeah. And, you know, the simplest thing, if you don't pick up a book or, you know, go to a class or there's no classes for you to try, you want to realize that your state of energy, like your state of being, is your almost like your energetic signature, like your emotions, your thoughts are determining your energetic signature. So again, like to break that down, like if I come home from, you know, or if I'm a mom and I'm have my kids all day and then my husband comes home from work and there's always this like point of tension there, and there's this like there's a powerful tool of like visualizing how you want the energy to be rather than being subject to someone else's mood or someone else's influence and feeling them. And if they're not okay, then you're not okay, right? Mm-hmm. Like you want to be the one that's like, I'm going to visualize my energy today and I'm going to visualize my energy going to pick up the kids. And then I want to feel light. I want to feel ease in my body. And no matter what, if my child is screaming at me, I would like to remain light and easeful because I know that that will end. If my partner comes home from work and I want to be like in it, like I'm in a good mood. I want to stay in a good mood. And I just want to feel, calm. I want to feel peaceful. I'm just going to visualize myself feeling calm and peaceful. And then I'm going to make an intention of staying in that. No matter what they come at me with, right? Mm-hmm. I like my energy doesn't need to change because of the people that I'm around. You know, it's like I own that energy field. That is mine. And I will keep it in the way, like I'm not gonna take things personally for a day, right?
Yeah.
What if someone else's behavior just like completely was not about you, even though they were kind of a jerk to you? Or yeah. Whatever, right? Like it's like it's still not about me, and they're hurting, and I need to just hold space for them, you know, and not go into my wounded child because they're in theirs. I don't know why I needed to say that, but I felt like that was just a piece that came through from spirit that was like, talk about this.
Okay. I love that. Thank you, spirit, because I love that. I just think that you just you really pointed out something that was really powerful. Is that like we don't have to be victim to energy. You know what I mean? That sort of, especially as a sensitive, yes. You know, I think that empath yes. thing, right? It's like that we're like, I felt my whole life that it was just like, I ended up being a recluse for quite a period of my time just because I couldn't handle other people's energy. I was a victim of other people's energy, not understanding that I allow it to happen. I can actually affect energy in the same capacity that it can affect me, right? And like you're taking the power back essentially, right, of your own energetic body, that you can affect energy in this positive, beautiful way. You don't have to allow it to.
Yeah, and it just takes like you're so sensitized to looking and hypervigilant to looking for who has the biggest problem in the room. And because you can feel that and your body will notice the biggest threat. So it's like, okay, that person feels the worst. So that's the biggest threat to me. So now I'm hypervigilant. It benefits me to feel that. So then I can then, you know, do whatever I do to protect myself, which could be make them feel better. That like, oh, I'm going to go make them feel better so that I don't have to feel this way.
Yeah.
So, and we don't know consciously that we're doing that. We just think that we're, you know, going to help and, you know, we're sensitive or yeah. we protect or shut down or we disassociate in those places. And so, yeah, like doing the work that I do, you know, it's like we learn how, like what is in our field and how to actually work with that, you know, very subtle trauma that's happening that taught us to people please, that taught us to serve others before we serve ourselves, to, you know, take a self-care off the table as the first thing rather than the last thing, right? Yeah. Like everyone's else has got to come first and go, and we've got to go and do. But that is actually a trauma pattern in our body. Being an empath is a trauma pattern, you know, because we had to learn to be hypersensitive to our environment to protect ourselves. We learned that as a child.
Yeah,
and we can unlearn that. We're gonna, but it is like once you, when you, you know how to have boundaries and you tune it, you can tune into someone else. Because I mean, that's primarily, you know, like one of my biggest gifts is I can just, whether someone's online, whether someone's on the phone, I can feel your feeling. Like if you don't know what's happening, I do. Like I can see it in your energy field, and I can feel it in my own body. And I'm like, oh, this is happening. And they, oh, they don't know how to identify that yet. Okay, cool. Well, let's like allow them to identify that. And then let's move that pattern. Let's actually heal that pattern and create a new template in the body based off of beliefs, somatic trauma release, you know, like, and we rebuild without having to go into stories. Like, we don't need to keep telling the stories of the past. We don't need to keep beating the, that same drum. I think Abraham Hicks says that. Don't beat the drum of the past. Somebody says that. I love that phrase. Stop beating the drum of the past. You know, and I'm a, I mean, like my entire, you know, life is based off of shadow work. So it's not like we're avoiding it, but you'll see that shadow work is the light work. You know, you've got to, you go in, but you go in a very specific way that helps your body release the pattern. And then your thoughts don't actually connect to going there anymore. Mm. It's an incredible way to heal. Incredible and effective.
We are also like these beings that were meant to be in community with each other. So we are meant to be sensitive to each other. You know, this like, you know, we are communal creatures. We're supposed to be in community, raising our babies together and washing our, you know, linens together at the river. Like this is, this is how we're supposed to be. And I also loved how earlier you were talking about that nobody is without trauma. I think that's so important to, that I even just think of what came to mind, like Paris Hilton, you know, the, you know, an heiress, literally one of the most privileged, you know, she comes out with her childhood trauma of being in youth treatment center when she was younger, like somebody like that still has trauma. We all have trauma. And some of the most hurtful moments that I experienced when I was younger were trivial to the people that caused the trauma. You know, but it's how you carried it. Yeah. It's how I imprinted it in my body. It's how I carried that one snide little comment and made it part of my embodiment as a human. And it's so crucial that there are people like you that are helping to take these little slivers in our soul out, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, we're meant to have these traumas, you know, it's not like we're meant to avoid them or not have them. Like that is our karma in this lifetime to have like the grist for the mill to make us who we are. You know, each one was divinely planned just for us. And I'm not saying like I agree with the bad things that are happening to people all around, but like we are infinite beings. We are infinite souls. We are here for a blip, like a you know, just this blip of time that's so small in comparison to the infinite life that we live and the many times that we will come back onto this planet. So when we're looking at like, what is the soul growth that I can really see and gain? How can I start to have boundaries? How can I start to actually like embody my expansion by just allowing these things to have a completion and creating the space and time for that completion so that you can serve your soul mission more and more? Mm-hmm. And soul mission might sound like, again, a lofty, you know, thing, but it's just like, we're here to love. We're just here to know and merge with and, you know, realize that we are the universe. We are unity. We are absolutely, you know, divine perfection in motion. That is where, you know, the viewpoint that the divine comes from. And when you can start to taste that And then, you know, it's like your self-worth just comes back into alignment because we know that, you know, the depth of love that exists within us and who we are. But we need to have experiences of that. We had so many experiences that told us that we were not that, and very few that allowed us, I mean, real, true, like, expanded state of consciousness, peak experiences, you know, to show us like, holy shit, this is who I am. Like, I couldn't have even fathomed that I am this amount of love and that this amount of love exists. So that's another journey that I take people on, is that we don't try to lose our defense mechanisms by talking about trauma, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, we try to gain a new perspective and build and kind of like reaffirm in the body brain how much love you are. And we don't skip any of the darkness. We go in through the darkness to find out, you know, what the purpose was, what the energy was, why it was there, and just to like let it dissolve as a sensation in your body, and then to remember the deep, you know, power of this infinite source that is within you. You need experiences of that, like actual, you know, real experiences. And breathwork is one of the ones that I think takes people there the most integratable way.
You're here to experience all that the earth has in store for us being here on earth. You know, the real journey of living as a soul in earth school is the great pivot between the dark and the light. You know, it's all of it. We signed up for all of it. And I think that's a hard thing for people to take on when they have gone through what people can go through in this world, you know?
Yeah. Of course, if it doesn't have meaning, then it's just suffering.
Yeah.
You know, if without meaning, without purpose of it, then, you know, fuck, why be here? Like, you know, it's just like that. Like, I don't see any other way but to make meaning of it. And because it does have a meaning, you know, and in that connection of spirit and mental and, you know, physical is the way that we heal. We can't do it in just the mental. We can't do it just the physical. You know, we can't just skip all that shit and just fly into spirit all the time either. You know, like, let's, you know, spiritual bypassing is very real, very, very real. Many people try to find salvation in spiritual communities with heavy trauma and by just feeling bliss. They just want to be in the bliss. And that only goes so far, because that doesn't ever resolve itself if it's not seen and looked at and dealt with. Right?
Spiritual bypassing is a huge, like, and I think it's a disservice for anyone that's on a path, because there must be something fundamentally wrong with me because I am not in love and light and all the time. It's like, I don't know anybody who's in love and light all the time, you know, like I don't. I think that we.
On Instagram, they are.
On Instagram, they sure are. Yeah. Like, oh, nothing bothers me. I was like, oh, I don't know what pill you're taking. But it's probably a pill, because, you know, that's part of it. Like the growth happens in that darkness for me. It's a contraction to expansion, and it's hard to go there, and nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to be in that darkness within themselves. Yeah. But also having faith that darkness is serving a purpose for us to achieve our greatest and highest self here on earth. That's what our purpose is, to connect back to where we came from in our own way.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. In our own way.
Yes.
In our,
yes. In our absolutely.
Own signature, you know?
Yeah. And I was just going to say, you know, and when we say connect with the darkness, that doesn't, people don't know what we're talking about or how to do it. And that's, you know, so much a part of my work as well, is like, I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to show you that this process is effing gorgeous. Mm. That this is sacred. This is you coming into the sacred. And there is nothing more meaningful and beautiful about that. But there is a process that we're going to go through, and we're going to guide you through that. And I teach tools so that people are guided through that, and they know how to do it on their own. They don't need I don't want people staying with me forever, right? I mean, people check in and need their sessions, and but I have these containers where we go for 3 to 5 months and learn the process while I'm guiding you through the process, while you're learning it yourself, and then you get to leave with all the audios and the videos, and so you know what's going on. You know exactly what to do when anything comes up, and you won't know exactly what to do to expand into more light, right? And that's like why the program is so beautiful, because I didn't have these tools. Like I went to Naropa. I went pretty deep into all my own self studies so that I could build this, you know, and I didn't know I was doing that at the time, but it's like, we do need a roadmap, and it doesn't exist in our normal education. We don't even have social emotional learning. I mean, for people my age anyway, I'm in my 40s, right?
Yeah, like, me either.
No. Social emotional learning, you kidding me?
No.
Like, I had a disability. It was like, you know, put in a side room with the, like, just feeling like a weird kid, you know, and I was really smart, but like, it was like, just, there was no tact around it or education around it. So, you know, this range of like, we are healing, but we have to know how to heal, right? And so that's where my work really comes in, and is that stepping stone for people.
And that's the most beautiful containers that I've ever seen people create, is this, this creating this space and there was a reason they didn't have it, is because they were the ones that were supposed to create it, you know, and that's beautiful in itself, you know. It's so beautiful. I love that. I could just talk to you for hours and hours. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. I know my listeners are going to just learn so much. Could you please tell them how they can reach you, how they can access your beautiful programs, and and give them all your deets?
Yes. The best way is alanawarlup.com. My website, and I have a newsletter that can be signed up for on that homepage. I also, right now, for this year of 2022, I'm running a women's circle every month. It's a 2-hour workshop every month, and we go expand it. We're doing, you know, quantum work, we're doing women's work, and that's a really fun way to join and just get a little sip and taste of what I do and who I am.
If you enjoyed today's episode of The Lilac, please reach out. I would love to hear from you. You can message me on Instagram and Facebook at The Lilac Podcast, or go to thelilacpodcast.com. Be brave enough to be vulnerable. Be vulnerable so you can find yourself, and blossom unapologetically.